sing of your frustration.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to American
Ish.
Ish.
The way Kai does that on freaking purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to KHDX FM Conway, Arkansas. And today we're bringing you back with another episode. It is our 8th episode. Can you guys believe it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Week number 8.
Great.
How time flies.
No, but actually how
she
time flies.
She was expecting us to say no. How the
Anyways,
turntables.
The first song that we just played, it's called Protect You by Skinny Brown and Coogie. I've been a really...
No, it's a really good song.
Thank you, guys. I love having supportive friends. Anyway, Skinny Brown is this artist that I've been really into, but this song is called Protect You, and it basically talks about, like, I have to protect myself, I have to protect you, and just, like, you know, with that theme, mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring up, like, the fact that our families are generally very tight-knit and tend to be overprotective, or what others would see as overprotective, and maybe even overstepping boundaries just a little bit. But I want to talk about how it's a little different, because I think from a perspective where you're not in that kind of environment, you see it as, like, suffocating almost. Like, other people, if they if they knew how attached we are to our families and, like, you know, the guilt card and, like, all that stuff, then, like, they think that we're all crazy. But that's just, like, I just want to say, like, that's just how it is, I guess. And I think that we're all super attached to our families, and they are attached to us. And more than just being, it's not really stepping over boundaries, it's just that's how it be. But I also wanted to talk about the overprotective part, because I think that my family in particular, we're, like, Like, for a specific case, like, my parents and I are, like, really protective over my brother. Like, almost TMI, but it's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see if, like, that was, like, the case for any of you guys, because I know you guys are older siblings as well. So I want to know if, like, you guys are that way with your siblings.
Yeah. So first, to address the, like, overprotective and, like, close-knit family thing, I think a lot of, I don't know how to say it. A lot of cultures, like, are really collectivist, I think is a word. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in America, people are very individualist. Like, mm-hmm. the culture is individualist. Which I think is crazy. Because we're made to look like the minority mm-hmm. in that sense. But we're really not. Yeah. I don't think so. I think a lot of cultures are collectivist cultures. Mm-hmm. Meaning that, like, it's the group over the individual a lot mm-hmm. of the times. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we talk about us making sacrifices to be with our family as opposed to doing X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. People look and they feel bad for us. But a lot of the time, it's like we don't want people to feel bad for us.
Yeah.
Because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is overbearing. Making. Yeah, mm-hmm. sometimes it is overbearing. But for the most part, like when people like think, oh, that kind of sucks that you don't have your own apartment already. It's like, I don't really want it mm-hmm. yet. Mm-hmm. And so things like that. But also the overprotective thing, I do not know what it is about the guy in the family. I don't know how to explain it.
I'm waiting for this one.
For Kaisa's, it's going to be different. But number one, I only have one little brother. Mm-hmm. Little brother.
He's literally my brother's 19. Freshman in college, guys.
My brother's 19, but he's my little brother. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the taller. Oldest. And he's the most, quote unquote, rebellious. Because the rest of them are little, like they're mm-hmm. little girls, and so yeah. obviously we're all super protective over them, but that makes sense. They're
children,
they're girls, and mm-hmm. they're small, right? Mm-hmm. But for my brother, it's like we are all so overprotective of him. So fun fact, my brother skateboards. He's edgy. No, he's not. That's a joke. But so he skateboards and stuff, and this is, I'm just gonna give you guys an example. Because I also am very protective of my brother, and my parents are too, despite the fact that he's so rebellious, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. He like really wants to be like his own person and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. But he always lingers home when he misses us.
And they
us.
Can't take care of themselves is the kicker.
No, they can't. No. And so one time my brother fell off a skateboard.
Was that one in August?
Yeah. He got hurt really bad. Like, not that he broke any bones, but he got really scraped up in like the mm-hmm. the elbow and like his knees and his palms. And my parents were so upset. Like, they were like, you are not allowed. So my parents are pretty like easygoing when it comes to like rules and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when this happened to my brother, they were like, you are forbidden. My dad has never said that word in my entire life. Ooh, not even to me.
The F word.
Not even to me. No, not even to me. Like, uh-huh. even though I'm like the oldest like girl and he like. Mm-hmm. I was more strictly raised. He has never forbidden me anything. And he was like, I forbid you, to my brother, mm-hmm. from getting on the skateboard until we, as in my mom and him, buy you a helmet. And you will wear the helmet. My dad was like, you will wear it. And my brother was like, oh. He didn't even make a joke. He was like,
he
okay.
knew it was serious, huh?
Yeah. But he still went on skateboard without it. But he told me to go with him. Aww. He told me to go with him. And I was like, what am I going to do, protect you? It was so funny. But yeah, so for sure, my brother is like cradled. No, but yeah. also mm-hmm. like my parents scold him and stuff. Like he doesn't mm-hmm. get it easy, but he is very like protected. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he can't take care of himself, TBH.
Yeah. And I feel like we actually talked about this in our stereotyping and prejudice class. There's this stereotype about men that they can't take care of themselves. They have to be taken care of. But it's like it goes both ways because... It's like men are also expected to be like the like boss, the leader, the like, you know, like the big guy. But then they're expected to be taken care of. And I feel like they also play into the fact that they're like, I can't do this on my own. Mom, can you do my laundry?
Yeah, like, it's contradictory.
I know, like, one of our friends, I'm not going to say names, but he has never done laundry on this on our campus. And so like, I don't know. Guys, do you have like any comments about that? The way that it goes both ways, like men are expected to be this big guy, but then like, you know, there's a stereotype that they have to be taken care of.
Or like about your family, mm-hmm. like the previous question, either one.
I'm gonna answer the
that overprotective, like that kind of
yeah
part.
Well, I feel like I wasn't overprotected just because I was the oldest, so like they kind of just expected more out of me. But like hands, I think it's just the second youngest. Like they expect the most out of the oldest, so they're like, okay, they've already grown up a little bit more than the second, so we don't really have to cradle them that much. Mm-hmm. But like hands, like every single thing that happens to him, the whole family has to go. We have to like all go watch his boxing matches. We all have to do this. We all have to do that just to make sure he succeeds. Whereas like me, I'm like, okay, like y'all could show up if y'all want to, but like, please don't.
Wait a minute. Can I add something?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't think about it that way. I went through that too. So Luis was in band, but then he was on cross country and track, mm-hmm. and I was in marching band in high school, and I would do competitions like in Little Rock or like in Conway or whatever, mm-hmm. and my parents never went because I never asked them to go, mm-hmm. because I assumed they were too busy, mm-hmm. and then as soon as my brother like started having events of his own, like we always went, like mm-hmm. I was at Hendrix and I was expected to go to his like
to track his meets. I remember
to
that.
His meets freshman because year, yeah. we needed to support him, mm-hmm. And one time I got really angry because I couldn't be there. And mm-hmm. we had like a big discussion in my family. And I was like, you guys never came to my stuff. Mm-hmm. Neither did my brother. And so I didn't even think about that. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. What was your question? It was the...
Well, like, but before we move on, like, I wanted to add on to that because I played tennis in high school and my parents never came to a single game. And we played a lot. And it was always in Little Rock or Conway. And there's nothing I think to compare to like, where like my brother had something going on too. He didn't really do any sports or anything, but like they never came to a single tennis game. I don't know.
It's weird.
But it's also like I didn't think much of it until I saw like other kids' parents coming and I was like, where are my parents?
Yeah.
But my second question was
the contradiction
that we had.
Oh, yeah.
To
I was like, to be honest, I forgot. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see that, especially since like my dad like.
Guys, I actually punched the mic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's very violent. Sorry. My dad and my mom expected me to do all like the more masculine work. So like doing oil changes, changing the tires, fixing any like electrical work, any like literally I could have died when I was six if I did not know what I was doing.
Six?
Okay, not
ain't
six.
No way. Yeah.
Like when I was 12, like I was very close to electrocuting myself. Uh-huh. But they expected me to do a lot of the independent work, but they also were like, I don't know the word, but like they were cognizant to the fact that like I have a lot of needs too, and like I always expected them to like pat my back or like expected them to like reward me or expected them to like, I don't know, just coddle like, me in that way too. So it was like that two-way street where like I had to do a lot of like adult things, but I was always babied at the same time. But like it's not to the point where my brother's at where like he's coddled all the time.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, used to that.
Yeah. Like he would brood after a loss in like boxing or something. And like the whole time my mom is like, you're such a great boxer. You're doing great. You'll do whatever. But like, in all honesty, he lost because of him. So I don't know. It was just that coddling and like that expectation to be manly at the same time. It's just like that. I'm going to use a big sociology word, cognitive dissonance. But yeah.
No, but I agree. And I think that like tying that back to my family too, I think that's what happened with my brother as well, because we were very like we wanted him to be his independent self and like grow into this confident person and take care of himself, but we weren't giving him the space to. And that's something that my family and I had to realize like over, it's honestly been like a minute since we've like been working through that, because all of his life, like, okay, like we live in a two-story house, right? And so when my mom says something from downstairs, sometimes we can't hear it. So she's like, Helen, go tell your brother this. And so I'm the one telling him to like wake up or like come down, eat breakfast, like being his mom basically. And I think that kind of stressed him out in a way where he felt like it was like all this nagging around him and he was on his own. And like right now, or like in the past few years, I can tell he's trying to come out of that place where he really wants to be independent. And I'm doing a lot of reflecting lately on how I played a part in hindering that for him and hindering that process for him. But it's like, it comes from a place where I want the best for him, but I think that I can like carry him on my back and lead him through that way. But in reality, that's not letting him grow into his own person. And so I think in that way, I was being very overprotective of my brother, which is really odd because like I'm the younger sister, but I don't know how it happened that way, but it just did. And we struggled with it for a while actually, but I think now I'm coming to a place where I'm like respecting his own decisions, even though I might think it's not the best way, but it's his own like deal for him to go through that. So that's just something I wanted to mention because I feel like we all kind of have that kind of struggle, maybe.
Yeah, like whenever I like would talk to Hans, I feel like I was nagging him too. So like I was pretty overprotective of him too. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that nagging kind of like, I don't know if it's the same with you and Ire or you and Luis, but like every single time I nagged with him, I feel like it just like kept him from like actually talking to me. Because like he would keep a lot of secrets from me. Like he would keep a lot of things that like most brothers would talk about. Like now we're getting a lot better with like, yeah, I'll talk about like my relationships with him, or he'll talk about like this girl he likes in class.
Which is so cute.
Yeah.
But like, I just remember like sometimes like he would skip class and he wouldn't tell me. And I'm like, bro, like I'm the person to talk to if you want to skip class. Like I know all the places to go.
I know the thoughts.
Weird example, but yeah.
Like it just reminded me because like, I know one time Ire got like a speeding ticket and he wouldn't tell Helen. And I was like,
guys, I found out in the weirdest way possible.
So it just made me think of like the times that Hans would like keep things from me. And I was like, maybe it's because like I would always try to be a parent to him instead of be a brother.
Exactly.
So like,
yep.
I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Like I was too busy trying to be a mom to him that I wasn't being a sister. Like, that's a really good way to put it. I like that you said that.
But a lot of the times our parents put us in that position.
Especially since, you're not the oldest. But, like, me and Monica are the oldest. So, like, it's kind of expected that we would be the third parent. Mm-hmm. But I guess, like, because you're so close in age and because you're the girl that, like, you basically became the third parent.
Yeah, the age makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact that they're only, like, what, a year?
Mm-hmm. Like, barely a year
apart,
older.
Yeah.
20 months, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So basically almost 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years. But, no, yeah, it's just odd because now it's like we're at that like my brother's 20 he's turning 23 actually soon, which is crazy to think about. And I'm 21 now, so we're at that stage where like we're transitioning into becoming our own adult and trying to be independent, but it's like also a transition phase for our parents, right? Yeah. From their perspective. But I think I'm sure every family goes through that, whether you're like from an immigrant background or not. But I think it's a little more, I think parents have a hard, like you mentioned, the collectivism view versus the individualistic thing. I think that plays a big role in how it exacerbates the situation for like our parents versus like our white counterpart parents. Uh-huh. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this will be an abrupt stop to this conversation because our next conversation, I just want to introduce it by saying, welcome to freaking cuffing season. Never have I felt more attacked in my life by all the couples in the disgusting like post. Like
the all TikToks. That stuff. The abolish the TikToks. No,
TikTok trends are so funny though.
Like, abolish them.
I'm on the sad boy side of TikTok. So like
of course.
It's a bunch of people duetting to like the couple pictures, I mean couple photos, and like all of them are just crying. And like saying really sad quotes.
No, it used to make me sad and upset, but now it enrages me.
No, I'm just, it just makes me, it's super funny because like everyone just crying in the background of like all of these people being happy. No, there's also another trend where out loud they're saying like, I wish you the best, I hope like she stays loyal, all this, but like in the subtitles it's like, I hope she cheats on you, I hope this happens.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Anyways, but related to that, this next song, it's called What the Spring, right? So in Korean it's like directly translated like, do you like spring that much? Basically because spring is a time where it's like all this like lovey-dovey, like all those flowers and whatever. But basically the song is saying you guys are weird, and it's like pouring curses down on them, but like in a funny way, right? Like
so basically
live
TikToks.
Laugh love.
Yep. Live, laugh, freaking love.
So I'm gonna go ahead and play it for us.
Yeah.
다시 언제 피는지 그딴 게 뭐가 중요한데 날씨가 언제 풀리는지 그딴 거 알면 뭐 할 건데 추울 땐 춥다고 붙어있고 더우면 덥다고 니네 진짜 이상해 너의 달콤한 남친은 사실 PC방을 더 가고 싶어 아직 겁나 피곤하대 봄이 그렇게도 좋냐 멍청이들아 벚꽃이 그렇게도 예쁘디 바보들아 결국 꽃잎은 떨어지지 니네도 떨어져라 몽땅 망해라 망해라 아무 문제 없는데 왜 나는 안 생기는 건데 날씨도 완전 풀렸는데 감기는 왜 또 걸리는데 추울 땐 추워서 안 생기고 더우면 더워서 인생은 불공평해 너의 완벽한 연애는 아직 웃고 있지만 너도 차일 거야 겁나 지독하게 봄이 그렇게도 좋냐 멍청이들아 벚꽃이 그렇게도 예쁘디 바보들아 결국 꽃잎은 떨어지지 니네도 떨어져라 몽땅 손잡지 마 팔짱 끼지 마 끌어안지 마 제발 아무것도 하지 좀 마 설레지 마 심쿵하지 마 행복하지 마 내 눈에 띄지 마 봄이 그렇게도 좋냐 멍청이들아 벚꽃이 그렇게도 예쁘디 바보들아 결국 꽃잎은 떨어지지 니네도 떨어져라 몽땅 망해라 망해라 망해라
All right. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to KHDX FM, Conway, Arkansas. And here we are back. If you were listening before, we introduce cuffing season.
Yup.
As the next topic.
It's canceled.
No, actually, it's canceled until the moment I get a boyfriend. Anyways, so as we grow older, I'm sure you guys realize that you see so many more engagement posts. Marriage post.
I still think it's
even baby shower posts like on your feed, which is absolutely terrifying. And sometimes it's from these people that I knew back in high school who were younger than me. And I'm like, I mean, no judgment there, but like, sheesh,
it's like, just a realization. Like, I don't go on Facebook anymore.
No, I'm tired. Facebook is a bad place.
I'm tired of the or I'm tired of the
sometimes Instagram picture. Is a problem.
I literally the freaking like hand picture. Like, can you stop with your?
Least you could have done was get your nails done before you took this picture, bro.
I mean, I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct in that sense. I'm not going to be wrong. I mean,
I'm not
going to lie. You're not wrong. That's what I meant to say.
Or at least crop your fingernails out.
It's but though, imagine if they cropped their fingernails.
Or they did the weird.
Or like the fist.
I got married, guys. I'm sorry, you can't see.
I wish
any
you guys could see like what
we'll post examples on the Americanish Instagram.
Oh my gosh, like
that
will
be
song.
Our first post.
Yeah, you should should follow us.
But let me tell you guys something even more terrifying.
Drugs.
Yes, but
yes,
it only gets worse.
Yeah, because as we get older, more people exactly. will get engaged. And
exactly.
Especially since we're kind of younger, like, I guess it's okay to be, well, definitely it's okay. But, like, it's more socially acceptable as we grow older to, like, for more people to
right.
be married.
One day we're going to be the weird ones if we're not married.
Yeah.
I'm stuttering over that.
Like, the only reason 4 years
really old,
not,
unmarried.
The only reason we're really not is because most people that are in college don't really. And the people mm-hmm. I do know that are engaged now and
they're not
they
in
are
college.
In college go to Christian universities. That's like, an observation.
Like
I'm not saying anything.
Like
I'm just
no
one.
Claims are made here, but.
Like the one we're at right now?
Wait.
This is a Christian
no,
college.
No, this is affiliated. It's not the same.
Oh.
Bruh.
But there's still a lot
you're
of people
you're not comparing
married
Hendricks
here.
College to Harvard.
There's still a lot of people married here.
Not that many.
We only
and the
like
ones that
three.
Are, it's unique in a sense, an aspect of their relationship. But anyways, you're right. It's starting to be like more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And I see it a lot too in like Latina friends I have in Little Rock. Mm. I'm like...
They're being
oh,
infiltrated.
No. One of my cousins is expecting a child, which I'm really happy for her, but
oh
she's younger
gosh.
Than me. Mm-hmm. And it's really putting things into perspective. And I had a whole episode with my parents the other day. I sat down at the table and I was like, Mommy, am I disappointing you guys?
By not popping out a child right
And
now?
If so, I'm so sorry. One, I don't want a child yet. Two, there's no options. Three, I'm in college. Right,
so
that's
yeah,
good,
exactly.
right?
For this
like,
is
mad
Arkansas.
Respect to the moms out there who go through college with a child. Like that is
yeah.
very much intense.
Yes,
I cannot imagine.
It takes a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great being the oldest cousin. Like I'm the oldest out of every single person. Well, out of all every single child. Well, how does it, how do I say this?
Would you like to?
I'm the oldest.
Would you like to sit for a second?
I'm my grandmother's oldest grandson.
So you're the oldest cousin.
Yes, that's what I'm. Yeah, but
okay, perfect.
But so that means no one's seen as a disappointment until I get married and have
set
my
the
kids.
Bar?
Yeah,
unless,
I set the bar.
Unless a younger
like,
cousin.
Unless like my brother out of nowhere just like pops out a child in the next couple.
Yes, he himself
years.
Pops out a child.
Yes, like he just pops a squat and then just
pops a squat. Pops a Megan.
Lays an egg.
Anyway, so my friend and I were texting about how hard cuffing season is hitting us in the face this time. And I told her I miss being in middle school where there are only like two kids who were dating and they were the weird ones.
Yeah, because cooties.
Exactly. Boys still have cooties in sixth grade. But on the topic of like having significant others or whatever, I want to relate that to being bicultural. Because, you know, we're bicultural. We're like American, but also, you know, Mexican, Filipino, and Korean. So I want to hear you guys' perspective and like what you guys think about like interracial relationships, because I see a lot of it happening, right? And I have my own view on that and my own like, you know, like I don't want to say beliefs because it's not that intense, but like my own thoughts about it. So I just want to hear you guys. Like, is the relationship different if they're from the same ethnicity and culture, or is it sufficient enough for them to just be making effort to know about the culture you're from? And if you guys have any experiences on that?
Yes.
A lot of questions, I know.
Personally.
This is an interview question.
I'm not sure if I'm being exposing myself in this situation.
This is a safe space.
But coincidentally, I have only ever been in interracial relationships.
Same.
Well,
what's ethnic? Oh, I don't know. Whatever. I've never dated anyone that's Filipino.
Oh, that's a good distinction.
Yes, so they
make,
have
guess,
been
yeah.
interracial.
Would that be racial, though? Because I've dated Asians.
They're all Asian.
That's not even an ethnicity. Filipinos are not an ethnicity.
Well,
an
I don't
want to
say international, so.
So. I guess you have. You have not had an...
Someone from a nationality that's not your own.
Yes.
But actually, they're not all Asian.
Yeah, I've dated other people outside of that, but like...
None of them have been Filipinos, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been understood. Mm. But Monica, sorry, you were saying...
Yeah. I was saying that I've only ever been in interracial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't have very many examples of those relationships either because it's a small amount. But, so.
Wait, guys, just a side note. My friends and I have been doing the weird, like, awkward laugh, like, on purpose.
It's a joke.
But, like.
And you guys didn't know that. Crap. I feel awkward now. No, but so basically what I'm going to say is I don't have. I've only ever been in that situation, and it's, I've never had a serious enough relationship to where I actively want them to take part in my, mm-hmm. in my culture, mm-hmm. And like be part of the tradition and stuff like that, like Dia de los Muertos or mm-hmm. like traditions that we do on Christmas and stuff. Mm-hmm. However, food is a big, is a very easy one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sorry, but if you're dating someone that's a picky eater and they're like, oh, I don't want to eat your food because I don't like, I mean, if you don't like spicy food, that's cool. Mm-hmm. We have other cultural food that you can eat. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But whenever they're so picky that you can't share your part of your,
that's a part of your identity with them, yeah.
it's just not great. So mm-hmm. I've never been in that situation, thankfully. And the way that we have bonded over different cultures is food. We would like mm-hmm. try each other's like food and like eat it regularly. So it mm-hmm. wasn't like a, let's do this special thing today where we eat Mexican food. It was like, it's just normal.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And yeah. so that was nice. But that's really the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. Like anything about like music taste or,
music. Yeah.
Yeah.
Music.
I think that's a big one for me. So I wanted to bring that up.
Music as well. That's mm-hmm. that's an important one. That's a key one, actually. That takes no effort to do. Yeah.
Guys?
I don't want to say. Well, I can't relate to the music part just because like, I don't really listen to Filipino music like that. So, but yeah, like especially food, if you can't eat my dad's cooking, like the dad's door's spaghetti. That way.
There's the door.
I can't say the next the part door. Of this. I can't say that.
But if like, you know, you know.
I don't know. I guess my race and the person I've been, like, I would be dating, like, the race was never, like, the forefront of any of my relationships.
It didn't matter that much.
So, like, I guess I never really thought about it. Like, as long as we had things in common, I didn't really think about, like, oh, like, would they accept this part of my yeah. tradition mm-hmm. or that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I guess I never really thought about it that way.
That's
all I got right now, actually. I'll come back whenever I have something else in my head.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're comfortable enough from the beginning to not have to seriously consider, like, how can I incorporate this without mm-hmm. being overbearing mm-hmm. or whatever, I think that's really great.
Especially since my dad, for, like, a person who's, like, so proud to be Filipino, he's, like, never date a Filipina.
Oh, dang.
So, oh.
Well, so my dad's like, kind of like that with first gen.
Wait
Koreans,
a minute. But. Is your mom a Filipino?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
No, well, he very much loves my mom.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Totally.
Hey, we didn't say nothing.
Filipinos are just. No, I don't know. Like, my dad would never give me a reason. I was like, okay, I guess I just want to delete a Filipino. What? Delete.
Sorry, guys. I just, like, killed your ears. Sorry.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, I guess I'll never date a Filipino. And just never. Okay.
I mean, never look back.
I mean, there weren't really many options
yeah,
out there.
There's not that many.
I think there's like right now that I know of in Arkansas is like three.
No, and I know those same three, so they're at
yeah,
least
exactly.
Five
one's
if you
over
know
there,
more.
The other's over right. there. I just don't want to say their names. So
yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, but it's actually, you know, what Kai said about, like, it not mattering to him as much. That's actually a strength because, like, personally, it was such a big, like, checkbox for me that it, like, blinded me kind of. So, TMI, but I I have this note in my notes app called Future Man. And it was created in April of 2020, and I don't think I've edited it since, right? But, like, at the top of the list, and at first it was a joke, but I think in my head mentally it really wasn't a joke. At the top of the list was second generation Korean American, which my friends made fun of me so much for, like, literally excessively. But this really, like, messed me up because I think I let it cloud literally every other box that they weren't checking off, right? And we've been through this, but, like, I was so excited about this guy having, like, the same music taste as me. Like, he liked Korean songs, which is crazy because no one I've ever, like, well, I mean, like, other than previous guys. Just for background, I've only ever been attracted to people of my own race, which I think is, like, odd because, like, I think other people are cute, but, like,
it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's just
the fact
weird
that
to
you,
say.
Yeah, the fact that you can see yourself in the future being married to someone with a similar identity as you in terms mm-hmm. of being, like, a Korean, That's not bad or weird.
Mm-hmm. It's just like some people make me feel worried about it, you know?
It's not bad or weird because I, as another person of color, I completely understand why. Mm-hmm. Because you can like, you guys share, like you empathize with each other. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. It's not the same as other people who selectively date certain races, mm-hmm. because it tends to not be their own.
Yeah.
That, when I it's think you're your right, that's own the identity that you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, I really, for me right now, like, honestly, I can't see myself being married to anyone other than a Latino. Mm-hmm. Just the way that I feel now.
No, yeah. Because it's like, first of all, it's so much easier for my parents to understand, like, where this guy is coming from, like, to be more accepting of him. Because, you know, for my parents, like, they're both, like, fully 100% Korean. So it's like, it's going to be hard for them to come to terms with someone who's not also Korean. It doesn't understand the culture, you know? So I think that's why I put so much emphasis on it. And it's because, like, you know, obviously, yeah, I'm thinking about marriage because, I mean, that's what matters, you know? But anyways,
yeah, but so I just want to, like, emphasize that it's not the same mm-hmm. for you to really want to strictly date within your own, mm-hmm. like, nationality or if it's, like, race, ethnicity, but it's a completely different thing if you only want to date a specific mm-hmm. race / ethnicity that's other than yours.
Like yellow fever.
Because it's just, it seems, I'm sorry, validate that to me because you won't be able to.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't.
Yeah, because it's for different reasons. You yeah. know? Like, sorry, guys, but like, for me, it's like the reason is because it's easier to share my culture and like just for the understanding and all that part.
You're considering empathy, mm-hmm. you're considering family, you're considering mm-hmm. identity. The other way around, I feel like, no.
I think it just depends. Well, okay, so I'm going to use another sociology term. I'm sorry.
You don't have to preface it, bro.
You're a college student. You're smart.
So like, yeah, so I think it goes back to like, what part of your identity is the most salient to you? Mm-hmm. So like for Helen and for you, I guess like your nationality is like very important to you. Mm-hmm. And like obviously being Filipino is very important to me, but I just never had that at the forefront of my identity. So I just never looked for it like in my music or mm-hmm. in like in my relationships, I guess. Uh-huh. But like it's super important to like still keep that identity, especially since like you want to keep that like culture going with the next generation. And if mm-hmm. like, especially if it is so important, like it's super important to you, like dating another Korean or dating another Mexican is like super important to like continue your traditions. Like, mm-hmm. especially since like, I know like y'all have talked about making sure your children speak Spanish and Korean.
Bro, like, they better be better than me at Korean.
Like that's definitely going to be super important, and I feel like the only way that's going to be possible is if you date within your nationality,
or like just really, or
someone like who's super interested in that in your culture. So mm-hmm. it's all about saliency, and
also for me, it's not even the Mexican part; it's just Latino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I feel like the Spanish speaking, the religion is usually the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot of commonality in that, but like. Once again, it just depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like on the person.
Hmm. Yeah. But I think that something that I'm like reflecting on is that it like, there's a tendency where I'm just speaking for myself. Like I get too excited about the fact that we have similar music tastes that, you know, I don't see the other red flags, which is not a great thing. But I think it teaches you to like what to look for now in like the next one, I guess, which is like what matters, you know?
And I feel like a lot of like our choices and our relationships go back to our parents, where like you don't really think about it at first when like you like get to know that person. But like in the back of your head, you're always thinking like, well, my parents accept them, exactly. this and that and that. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. especially since like, a lot of our parents are pretty conservative in like in some aspects, like mm-hmm. maybe they'll be
identity
like,
wise. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like maybe they're more willing to like accept someone who I'm dating if they're Mexican, they're Korean or they're Filipino. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where I was going with this.
Wait, can I say something? It's going to make my dad seem like a terrible person, but he's an angel. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We know.
My dad was like, Monica, you can kill two birds in one stone. You can find love and do community service at the same time. She's like, what if you, you know how when you know how the immigration system in the U.S.
Wait, stop. Sucks? I know exactly what you're about to say. And
you know how the immigration system in the U.S. sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad works as a welder and he has lots of other Mexican friends. Some of them old, some of them young. And he was like, hey, Monica, my friend Francisco has a son. His name is something. What was his name? Some name. Francisco Jr. He was like, his name is Daniel. He's undocumented. I was like, okay, that's cool. He was like, yeah, you can find love and he'll be documented. Isn't that what you want? You want to work in immigration? I was like,
not him. What? Service.
No, but
in the right place.
His heart's in the right place, but I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
No, but you know that there are people who do that behind the doors.
They pay. And so my parents, we have already talked about
me
how
and Vic
they
were talking about this.
Yeah,
last
I know.
Year.
I was just about to, I was
we
just talk, about to say
we had
that.
Packages. I made packages. I was like, okay, for $100,000, we'll allow them to do this, and we'll like actually be married. Maybe.
Which is like so messed up for us to say on like on air, but
yeah.
I mean, as children of immigrants with the privilege of being citizens.
Yeah.
It's stuff that, like, even if you say it as a joke, like, you acknowledge the privilege you have and the power, exactly. Mm-hmm. The power, really, that you mm-hmm. have because of the way that the system is mm-hmm. set up. Mm-hmm. But basically, my parents already know, and they want me to, ideally, it would be best if I marry someone at the same or higher intellectual level as me, mm-hmm. because that constitutes, like, a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I'm not going to date someone who's, like, a welder. Like, that's mm-hmm. not a rule, but mm-hmm. we acknowledge that should be considered. And so the reason I know he's joking is because he always tells my brother, he's like, Luis, stay in school because I don't want you to become a welder, because I did not come here for you to be a welder, and like jokes like that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's about like doing our best to get where we want.
Yeah, yeah.
And finding love on the way. But yeah.
Okay, sorry. You got it.
So yeah, and especially since like, thank goodness I got this out of the way with my parents. Like, it was always like in the back of my head, like, am I supposed to only date people within my race? So like, I don't know how this came up, but my pastor asked my dad about my dating life for some
Wait,
reason.
Which pastor?
Pastor Bay, not your dad.
Oh, so,
yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
So. Yeah, and they were like, yeah, he did. I don't really know much, but I'm pretty sure he's dated other people. And I'm like, thank goodness he's like not guessing how many people I've dated. but they were like, so like, are you against him dating people who are American and stuff like that? And he was like, well, not really. Like, love is love. And I'm like, thank goodness.
Oh, so, that is so precious.
Love is love.
So I was like, okay, and he. And then the pastor was like, so you don't really care if he dates like outside of your race or outside of your nationality? And he was like, not really. Like, who am I to say who he's supposed to love? And I'm like,
stop.
What?
So I was like, okay, oh so my either gosh. My dad is being super PC right now because this is the pastor, or like I'm good to go. But
Michael Vasquez, we love you.
Yep.
But where was I going with this?
I
had
know.
Something.
That's a pretty good end. I don't know.
There was something else though. Let's never mind then.
You can save it and we can bring it back up if you want to. Point of the story, folks. You date who you want to. And our next song, it's called Time Limit. It's by Toyo, Lila Mars, and Loco. 2 out of 3 of my favorite artists. I don't really know Lila Mars that much, but I know he's pretty cool. Anyways, the next song is called Time Limit. And if you can't tell what it already is, it's talking about how we need to enjoy the moments and keep precious the moments of now instead of looking too far in the future because it ends.
No, you could go.
Okay. All right, we're gonna play it.
저거 내려가는 wishlist 뭐가 좋지 고민하는 중이야 baby 마지막이잖아 우리 이제 곧 떠나야 해 난 멀리 이제 곧 떠나야 해 난 멀리 Yeah,
시간에 기억하는 중이야 이 밤을 해가 다시 뜨고 지나면 이곳에 더 눈 없겠지 나는 사랑은 무서운 게 분명해 증터마저도 우린 추억해 언젠가 닿기를 그곳에서 네 손을 꽉 나는 잡아지 암호장 끝에 바라보며 입 맞추고 끝에 바라보며 우린 사랑하지 그건 사실 무엇보다 멍청하지 하루살이 같이 아름답게 뛰어들려고 저 불구덩이를 태우고 또 태워서 날아가길 내가 없어도 누군가와 너만은 행복하게 다시 살아가길 저거 내려가는 wishlist 뭐가 좋지 고민하는 중이야 baby 마지막이잖아 우리 이제 곧 떠나야 해 난 멀리 이제 곧 떠나야 해 난 멀리 기억해주겠니 저를 기던 밤을 떨어지던 별 그게 몇던 날을 나는 잃었고 안아줬던 품을 아직까지도 나를 안아줘 꿈만 뛰어도 눈물이 왈칵 미래를 적어준 편지엔 답장 못하지 끝내 감성은 사치인 현실엔 거꾸로 시간이 가 조금은 진지해야만 해 밝아진 표정 마지막에 더 이상 나를 위한 것은 의미 없게 난 진짜로 가짜가 돼야만 해 아침이 떠도 세상은 돌고 계획이 사라진 주말 밤은 혼자가 돼버릴 우리는 현실에 가까이 있어도 무감각해 숨 닿지 않는 곳에 내가 계속 남아있었으면 해 yeah. 저거 내려가는 wishlist 뭐가 좋을지 고민하는 중이야 baby 마지막이잖아 우리 이제 곧 떠나야 해 난 멀리 이젠 떠나야 해 난 멀리 기억해주겠니 저를 기던 밤을 떨어지던 별 그게 몇던 날을 나는 울었고 안아줬던 품은 아직까지도 나를 안아줘
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Why are you sounding like a...
Welcome back to American-ish.
Ish.
Hey, kind of. We're getting there. You're listening to KHDX-FM, Conway, Arkansas. And this song basically is about how we need to live in the now. Because it's like... I mean, the song title is called Time Limit, y'all. But basically, the lyrics are like... I would like to remember, like, I would like to, what am I writing an essay?
One, two, three.
Like, translated, it's like, sometimes you guys know what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to translate things directly because they make no sense if
it
they're
is.
Directly translated.
It is. Yeah.
But it's like, I'm like writing down a wish list, trying to think of what's good. I have to leave soon. I have to leave soon far away. You know, and it's just saying... When the morning comes and the world spins, like today will end, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I bring this up because, guys, believe it or not, we're seniors. We're graduating in May. And like, I just cannot wrap my head around this, right? And I think I've talked about this last time too, but I've been talking a lot about how the people you walk by now that you just like wave and say hi to,
they're going to be gone.
Exactly. And you have no reason to cross paths with them again.
Yeah.
Which is so sad to me, right?
It's sad. And I think I don't know. I feel like we were like, yeah, it makes sense that we're like moving through college. But then all of a sudden it's here and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. You have to start thinking about like, who are you going to stay in contact with?
Right. That's and it's like, crazy. What is it? Am I going to write KIT in their yearbook or something?
What's
KIT? Keep in touch.
Oh.
But like, you know, and I feel like all three of us, you know, we've been friends for 4 years. I feel like I can say this confidently, but a lot of times I feel like we're so focused on doing work now for our future, like we're like studying for the MCAT now for our future, that we forget to live in the present and like enjoy the moments of now. Like,
yeah,
I like stay home studying and like doing something instead of doing something else fun that yeah. like I could possibly be making memories from, because I'm like so focused on like the future. Mm-hmm. But that'll never end, you know?
Yeah.
There's always going to be a future that I'm trying to work towards, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't live in the now.
That is very true. And I think I started to realize that a little bit this year, because I have started trying to make effort into like actually hanging out with people that I don't hang out with usually. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so happy that I have you guys, mm-hmm. and that we've been able to consistently like spend time together, mm-hmm. and like do things. And I realized that there's like, and all of us have collectively realized that there's other people that we really wanted to like mm-hmm. work towards building relationships yeah, with while yeah. we're here. And so I can kind of see us all doing that, and it's really great. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize until this semester, like once I moved in, I was like, wait a minute.
It was especially evident. Well, not that I'm never going to see these people again, but it was especially evident that like, well, actually, yeah, that I'm never going to see some of these people again because of COVID. Because like some of these people you haven't seen yeah. in like mm-hmm. maybe a year and a half.
We were talking about, I'm so excited to come back and see this person on campus.
Like, you wouldn't think like you would miss them, and you're like, dang, I really miss Evan. And
right,
I'm like,
right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and we first saw Evan for the first time.
I was like, bro, like I would not think I Evan, would miss if you're Evan, listening. But I was like, Evan, I missed you so much during COVID. No, I was yeah. like, I wish yeah. I kept in touch. I had your number. I could have kept in touch.
Okay, but it's like,
that's mm-hmm. that's what I was talking about. Like, I have these people's numbers. I could have definitely kept in touch, but like, it takes more effort to like, not really actually, but it takes some effort to like pick up your phone and like think about this person instead of like passively just walking by them and saying
and
hi.
It's exactly. not the same. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know. It was especially eye-opening because right before COVID happened, another friend of ours, Josh Norris, was talking about how like, you see that dude who just walked over and said hi to me? Like, that will probably be the last time I say hi to him, because like, this was like the last day of school for him.
Whoa.
Graduation day is gonna absolutely be terrible.
And he was like my best friend in like freshman year, and we would always keep in touch, but that would probably be the last time I'll say hi to him.
That is so sad.
Are you kidding me?
And I didn't really think about that, and I was like,
are you kidding me?
Like, I'll probably like see Evan a couple times, and then I'll be like, dang, that might be the last time I say hi to Evan.
This emotional baggage is too much for me.
So, it's only November, y'all. Like,
we're literally gonna take pictures with every single person at graduation.
Like, even if like I barely talk to you, bro, I'm gonna take a picture with you. Like,
I'm gonna miss you,
JC. Mm-hmm. I only say hi to you, bro. I'm gonna take a picture with you, bro. Yeah. Like,
I miss you, homie.
I'm just gonna name call everybody.
Or like Maria in the calf.
Oh, Maria.
Do you think I'm not gonna so cry?
Mimi.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
You know that rap guy in the cab, Tim. Mm-hmm. I miss him. Sometimes I think him. About him.
The
I'm
one
like,
time he drove dang. By him when he was with his daughters.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Y'all, this is emotional. This is too much. Like, I brought it up, but like,
what if that's the last time we ever see him? That day.
That probably might be the last time we
no,
ever see him.
Guys, no. So the moral of the story is like, please hold on to the people that you like have now in your life. And like, let's be effortful in our friendships,
yeah,
and even in our acquaintances. Right, like, be intentional, because you might not have a chance later. And
yeah,
like,
live day by day,
right,
bro.
And underclassmen, please, 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 please take out a notepad and take notes. Spend that time with your friends. Watch that movie with your friends. Go to that party with your friends.
Say hi to, like, no, literally, people have told me that I don't say hi to them, even though I should be saying hi to them.
Yep.
Say and, hi like, to literally everyone.
Everybody. Like, mm-hmm. if you think they want to say hi, they probably want to say
hi. Yeah, stop hesitating when you walk
right.
by people
like,
if
right.
you should
like,
say
I'm
hi.
I'm a shy dude,
not.
But I still say
yeah,
hi to a lot of people.
Don't catch me with that freaking head now. You better wave your hand and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know who I'm talking to. I'm sorry.
You know who I'm at.
Yeah, I'm sorry for
yeah,
not
bro.
Waiting.
Do Secret Santa with your friend group.
I know, yeah.
That was a direct app.
Do that tradition. No,
do
no,
a
it's
gingerbread
a
house challenge.
Like, it's the little things.
I'm getting so heated because, like, it really is the little things. And, like, you know, if you're listening out there and you know Monica, Kais, and Helen, please say hi next to us.
And to the freshmen and other underclassmen, like, go like out of your bubble and like say hi to other people, because
right.
like that person that you're not talking to like in calculus class right now could be your best man at your wedding and you wouldn't know it.
Oh my gosh. Literally terrifying.
Aww.
Wait, yeah, funny story, short story before we end. Victoria Malik, one of my close friends right now, we literally became closer friends because we knew each other from Gen Chem 1, and I told her that her name was the same name as my best friend at the time. And a semester later, I was like crying to her in the library or something, and that was like the beginning of our friendship.
Yeah.
It's like you never know who's going to end up being one of your closest friends.
Exactly. Like literally, Mohanad, my roommate, I sat next to him only because I needed to charge my laptop and he was right next to the outlet.
Was that Explorations?
Yes.
Aww.
And he said, what's up? And I said, what's up? And like the rest is history. Like
the rest is so cute. That's
so like cute. Say hi to everybody. They some people might not be become your friends, but a lot of them might be.
Right.
So like yeah. Make memories while you can.
Yeah.
Why do we sound so old? Like we're
My gosh. Okay, well on that note, we'll end today's episode with a song called Spring. It's by Toil, Ash Island, and Skinny Brown. I literally only listen to the same three artists on repeat.
Yeah.
But this is a song by them. Crap, why is it playing? And it's a song about looking forward to the spring because the winter will be ending soon.
Right. 너가 필요해 봄 오려나봐 봄 내게 차갑더니 겨울